Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for opening my eyes to the truth that is found in your word. Dear Lord, help us change from within. Take away everything that honors you and replace it with your love and your purity. As we open the Bible today, Lord, we pray that we hear your voice. We pray that the Holy Spirit is at work and comes down and opens our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word, that we be transformed in your likeness. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bubba. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in James chapter 4. I want to kind of come back to our freedom series of the things that God's setting us free from this year. We've talked about a lot of issues, bitterness and anger. We've talked about getting free from this and getting free from that. But this morning I want to talk to you basically about getting free from pride and selfishness. But I've entitled the message, Staying Close and Clean. And if you'll learn this morning how to stay close to God and clean before God, guess what? He'll free you. You'll have freedom from pride and selfishness and all that comes with it. So if you would, I know we've been up and down like yo-yos this morning, but let's all stand one more time as we honor the Word of God. I'm in James chapter 4. This is a great question. James chapter 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? What a great question. Where does fussing and fighting come from? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Mercy. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and... Now, he's writing to the church. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you... I didn't say that. That's what the Word of God said. Or do you think that the Scripture says, in vain the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now watch this. Listen to this. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he will flee from you. And he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Listen to this. Watch this. Lean in. Wrap your head and your heart around this truth. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He will lift you up. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. We come to You in the power of the Spirit and the Word of God this morning. God, unfold these pages of Scriptures and make them real to our lives today. Speak, Lord, Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, we all ask. Amen. Please be seated. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were really close to God? Has there ever been a time when you were just on fire for the Lord? I mean, your heart, there was a fire burning deep down in your bones. It was like you were so passionate about being in His presence and in His will and in His Word. And it was just burning deep down inside. You were close to God. It was almost as if in your devotional times in the morning you were sitting in His lap. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been close to God? But somehow, unfortunately, the days have now grown into weeks, the weeks have grown into months, and the months have grown into years, and now we're distant from God. And you don't have what you used to have. Let me ask you a question. Who moved away? I think we all know the answer to that, right? And so God has the solution this morning to staying close to Him and being clean before Him. You can be just as close to God as you want to be. You can be just as on fire for God as you want to be. You can be just as passionate about the Lord as you want to be. Hello? So here we are. Now, one of the reasons James says that we stray away from God is conflict. Conflict on the job. Conflict with a spouse, conflict with a neighbor, conflict in the family, conflict that goes unresolved. You may not understand this yet, but conflict in and around us and on us causes problems with God. Because you see, when our horizontal relationships with others are not right, our vertical relationship with God is not right. And so where does conflict come from? What is the cause of conflict, James says, and he answers the question immediately. Did you catch it? He says, most conflict comes from wanting to have our own way. We get mad when we don't get our own way. Come on now, I'm giving some truth here to us. It's hard to listen to and hard to swallow. We pout, we sulk when we don't get our way. We fuss and we fight. We say things to hurt the other person, you know, and we even go to extremes to get our way, don't we? But in order to solve conflict between two people, one or both people need to quit pointing fingers and look in the mirror. The root cause of conflict is selfishness and pride. And if we don't deal with the conflict in our lives, do you know what's going to happen? It's going to affect our relationship with God. Causes problems with Him. And by the way, I have learned in my life the vast majority of conflict, fussing and fighting in my life, it just ain't worth it. That's bad grammar, but tremendous theology. It's just not worth it. Marriages end because of selfishness and pride. I've lost friends over politics years ago, and let me tell you, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Churches split because one side didn't get their way. Companies closed because union and management couldn't get together. Lawsuits are filed. Relationships are broken. Businesses close. Friendships are splintered all because of unresolved conflict. And most of the time, it wasn't worth all the fuss. But there's an even larger truth, as we talked about this morning. If our relationship with someone else is out of kilter, our relationship with God is out of kilter. And so we're going to learn this morning how to stay close to God. Are you ready? How ready are you? Oh boy. Here's the first truth I want to draw from verses 1 through 3. The first key to staying close to God and whipping this thing called pride, getting free from selfishness and all this other negative stuff is we got to stay prayed up. We must stay prayed up. Look at your neighbor and say, let's get prayed up. Now look at your other neighbor and say, let's pray. All right. And what does James say here? Did you catch that in verse 2? He says, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You know what that is? That's prayerlessness. You do not have because you do not ask. That's prayerlessness. You know, our motto is, when all else fails, let's pray. Our motto ought to be, yeah, that's right. Unless we pray, all else fails. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Don't ever let it be said, especially when you're in the middle of conflict and you're in the middle of some type of relationship mess, don't forget to pray. We got to stay prayed up. James says, you have not because you ask not. You cannot stay close to God unless you spend time in prayer. You cannot stay close to God unless you spend time in prayer. And the more time you spend in prayer, the closer to God you'll get. That's good preaching. The more prayer that you involve... Do you remember what the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him? Oh, God, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us how to sing. Teach us how to play the piano. Teach us how to preach. Teach us how... No, they said, teach us to pray. Do you know why they said that? They asked that? Because that's where they realized that's where the power comes from. And so we must stay prayed up. And then secondly, we have not because we ask not. Watch this. Sometimes we ask amiss. Look at verse 3. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Sometimes we pray and ask God to straighten the other person out. Who am I talking to? We pray, God, I don't know what you allowed this to happen for, but I wish you'd straighten her out. You ask amiss. We miss the mark. We pray for the wrong thing. And we come to God and says, and basically what when you got that kind of attitude and you're asking God to work this out because everybody else is wrong and I'm right, guess what? God can't move in a situation. It's not what do I want, it's God, what do you want? Man, we had the most powerful experience in the Garden of Gethsemane while we were gone. And we moved through that passage when Jesus was in the garden and we saw the rock where Jesus sweat great drops of blood. And we moved through that passage and learned that, you know, Jesus in His humanity said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to drink this cup. I don't want to experience this death. I just don't want to do that. And yet Jesus, in that prayer time in the Garden of Gethsemane, got to the point, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's how we need to pray. God, when we pray, y'all, we don't pray to get our will done in heaven. We pray to get God's will done here on earth. Y'all, that's decent preaching. I've come all the way from Israel to tell y'all that this morning. Have mercy. And so, it's not what do I want, God, but what do you want to do? And we need to pray something like this. Help me to be more loving, Father, in this mess I've got myself in. Give me an understanding heart. Help me to be a better husband. Please, God, help me to be a better wife. Show me where I've gone wrong. And then sometimes we not only ask amiss, we ask with wrong motives. I've had women in former churches ask prayer for their alcoholic husbands time and time again. And a couple of times I learned that they weren't really praying for their alcoholic husbands for their soul. They were praying for them because they're tired of their husband coming home drunk. And I understand that. I get that. Sometimes we pray, oh God, give me a better job. And we're not really praying for a better job so that we can have more influence for Christ in another place with more people. We're just praying so we can have more money, more stuff. I know this is hard to hear, but sometimes we ask amiss and we ask out of wrong motives. I will guarantee you this. You write this down. If you've got some sermon, write this truth down. I guarantee you, if you will come to God this morning and pray for His will to be done so that He might get the glory for whatever it is that you're praying for, you will wind up closer to God. Everybody get that? They'll charge you $250 to come hear a seminar or something like that. That's straight from God's Word. If you will get to the point where you'll pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. God, work this situation out for me. I realize that conflict in my life is not good, and get me past the point. It's not what I want. It's what you want. God, help me to deal with this in a way that honors you and glorifies you. Get rid of this pride and selfishness and me being, get rid of all that, Father, and just may God be praised. If you'll do that and you'll begin to pray that way, you will be closer to the Lord. Here's the second truth. Are y'all still with me? Now we're going to be in verses 4 through 10. We not only need to stay prayed up, we got to get cleaned up. And we need to stay cleaned up. We need to stay cleaned up. Oh, there's Billy Walker. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's brought Billy back to the house of God, healed him up. See what prayer does? About four of y'all are happy that Billy's here. Bless God. James is telling us, really, in verses 4 through 6, that you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. Now, the word friend is the key thing here, okay? And in other words, if you're a friend of slavery, can you be a friend of freedom? No. If you're a friend of abortion, can you be a friend of life? No. If you're a friend of adultery, can you be a friend of marriage? No. And so it's the same issue there with God. You can't be a friend of the world. Let me read it again to you. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. In other words, you're against Him. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Whew, my goodness. James is a tough book, isn't it? And he's given some tough advice. But if you want to get free from pride and selfishness, and you really want to get to the point where you can stay close and clean with God, this is what we need to hear this morning. You see, friendship with the world destroys fellowship with God. Friendship with the world, falling in love with the things of the world more than the things of God, destroys fellowship with God. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean that we can't love the people of this world and enjoy the comforts that this world has. Doesn't mean that we can't do that. What we're talking about here is being more passionate about the things of this world than we are about the things of God. Y'all didn't know you were going to have revival when we got back from Israel, did you? And then all of a sudden, here's the deal, y'all. God doesn't want to just be prominent in your life. He doesn't just want to be present in your life. He wants to be preeminent in your life. He wants to be the Lord of your life. And by the way, if you're saved, when you got saved, you asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. He calls all the shots. He tells us where to go. He tells us what to do. He's in charge, not me. He's Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, He's Lord and I'm not. What great truth for us here this morning from God's Word. He wants to be preeminent in our lives. And then all of a sudden, notice what James says. Boom, there in verse 6. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Woo! God is opposed to the proud. Now what's up with that? Why is God opposed to the proud? And who are the proud? People who are practicing selfishness and pride. God's working against those people who operate in that mode. So what's up with that? Well, remember James has been talking about conflict with others. Isn't that what he's been talking about? And when I get to the point I'm so proud and I'm in conflict with someone else and wanting the things of this world more than the things of God and won't admit that I'm part of the problem, then God has a problem with me. And by the way, I've learned this in my life. When God is opposed and He's working against you, you ain't going to win. When God's working against you, you are not going to come out as the victor. God is opposed to the proud. When we get prideful, when we get selfish, God's not for that. As a matter of fact, He's working against that. And He'll do whatever He's got to do to squelch that pride in us. Whew, mercy. I've had to learn this the hard way. I hope nobody else. And by the way, Proverbs says that God hates pride. Hates pride. Because of what it does to us. So how do I deal with this problem of pride? How do I get cleaned up? I'm so glad you asked. Look at verse 7. Woo! Therefore, what we like to do is go to that second line first. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No. First thing you do is submit to God. You know what that means? Unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender. That's how you're going to defeat pride in your life. That's how you're going to stay close to God. That's how you're going to stay cleaned up. Unconditional surrender. And I know that's not American. That's not in our thinking, is it? Because after all, I'm a self-made man. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps, and I am what I am because I've done what I've done. Wrong. God is opposed to the proud, but gives what? Grace, 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 grace. And if you're anything, it's because of Jesus. Glory to His name. So how do I get cleaned up? Unconditional surrender. Any area of your life that's not surrendered to God will always keep you from being close to God. Whew. Listen to that. Pay attention to that. Any area of my life that's not completely surrendered to God is going to keep me from being all God wants me to be and keep me from being close to Him. I'm talking about whether it be family, finances, job, friends, your hobby, your sex life. If you're dealing with pride in your life, God's working against you. I don't know what it is in your life that's keeping you from Him and being close to Him, but whatever it is, it ain't worth it. Just turn it over to Him. Unconditional surrender. In other words, I surrender means I give up. I turn control of my life over to you completely. Every area of my life. What would Second Mile Church be like if everybody at Second Mile Church surrendered unconditionally? Every area of our life? I don't know the answer to that, but I won't tell you what. We'd storm the gates of hell in this city. Unconditional surrender. Just turn that thing over to Him today. And by the way, we can't forget about the devil, but sometimes the devil gets too much press. Our old rotten, stinking flesh sometimes keeps us in trouble. Amen? Amen? He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Amen. Well, by the way, the devil also wants to keep you from being close to God. But here's the deal. The devil can't make you do anything. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, the devil made me do that. No, he didn't make you do that. You allowed him to do that. You have authority and power over him in the name of Jesus. And so he's going to pick a fight with you. I can just tell by looking. Some of y'all been in a fight with him this week. But guess what? He's been defeated. Your battle is with defeated enemies. And so you don't have to go looking for him. He's coming looking for you. But if you'll submit every area, surrender every area of your heart and life to the Lord Jesus and resist him, which means to just stand against. You don't have to try to swing at him and whip him and just stand. That's what that verse means. Resist the devil. And guess what? He will do what? I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather see God's face and the devil's back. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know about them over there, but I'd rather see God's face than the devil's back. Yeah. I'll give y'all one more chance. Wouldn't y'all rather see God's face than the devil's back? Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Isn't that the story of the prodigal son? I mean, the prodigal son was thought he was coming home to the father. The father was already running towards him. You take one step towards God and want to draw closer to him, he's already taking a step towards you. Glory to his name. Now, verses 8 through 10, and we're done. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The key to staying close to God and clean before God is right here. You can't stay close and clean with dirty hands, a defiled heart, and a double mind. Now, y'all can figure those three things. Dirty hands, a defiled heart, and a double mind. But today, if you'd be willing to humble yourself before God and ask Him to forgive you, surrender His will, surrender your will to His will, you'll find yourself drawing near to God. And the good news is He's already drawing. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You see, in the economy of God, the way up is down. In the economy of God, if you want to be great, you got to be willing to be least. You want to be first, you got to be willing to be last. And God is the lifter of our heads. And in due time, He will lift you up and take care of that issue, whatever it is that you're dealing with. I had a good closing illustration. But I grew up in the Hampton home. Jim and Barbara Hampton were my parents. And my mom and dad were some of the most humble people I've ever known. And they're always thinking about somebody else. And I don't know where I got it, but I was selfish. Because my mom and daddy wasn't selfish. And I was prideful. Me and Susan had to share a little Superbug, Volkswagen, when we were in high school. You remember that thing? And we shared that thing in high school. Well, my dad, when I was 12 years old, he started lining up summer jobs for me. And by the time I was 19, we were out of high school, and I was working at Oregon Building Supply. I had enough money to go buy a brand new 1976 hot Trans Am. I mean, it was white with burgundy interior. It had the big bird on the hood. You remember those, Mike? I thought I was the hottest thing in Clarksville. And it was $6,000. Can you imagine a car like that for $6,000? And I'd made enough money through the summers to pay for almost two-thirds of it. And I threw down $4,000 on it. And there was one stickler, though. Dad said, "What are you going to do for insurance, son?" I said, "I'll just get, liability and get coverage with my next full coverage, collision with my next paycheck." He said, "I wouldn't do that." Well, hard-headed cow, prideful cow, selfish cow went ahead and bought the car and didn't get the collision. I was pulling out a pizza on call on Madison Street one night, and a little 75-year-old lady pulled out of the hospital, wham! It's her fault. She didn't have any insurance. And I'm sitting there with a car that's just about totaled. Dad brought all my sisters up there to the car rack. I'm bleeding. I've been through the windshield and all that. And he said, "This is what happens when you don't wear your seatbelt." You know? But I was devastated. Went home. after they checked me out at the hospital and everything. And I didn't have a car anymore. I didn't have the money to fix that. But my daddy pulled $2,500 out of his bank account and got my car fixed for me. Even though I didn't listen to him, even though I didn't listen to anything that he had to say, I thought I knew more than he did, and I was so impatient and selfish and prideful. And yet that lesson of grace showed me, and still speaking volumes in my life today, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Father, I don't know what areas in our hearts and lives this morning need to be surrendered totally and completely to you, but you do. And you don't need the preacher to do that. The Holy Spirit, that's His job. And so, Father, right now, I just want to lift up hands over this congregation and ask God that You would touch people's hearts and lives, that we would make Jesus and ask Him to be Lord of our life, that we would turn over every area of our heart to Him completely, that we would submit to Him and His will and ask Him to fill us with Your Spirit. God, do that this morning for my brothers and sisters, because Your best is better than ours. And Lord, we want to stay close and we want to stay clean. Help us, Lord, this morning to get Your best. We love You, Lord. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for Your grace. I love You, Father. Thank You that as a 25-year-old man, I decided to draw near to God, and You began to draw near to me. And You've cleansed my heart over and over and over again, and You've given me a single-purposed mind to glorify You. And You clean me up on a regular basis. And it's not because I'm somebody special, it's just because I'm Yours. Oh God, help us to get clean today. Help us to get close today. Help us to deal with this thing called pride once and for all. Give us freedom. Give us courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.